What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day of May 2024. And, folks, we have a lot to cover tonight. Way back there, this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. Do it. Go ahead, Aaron, do it.
888-677-9673. 888-281-1110.
You see how he does that?
I have it memorized.
All right, there you go. Now, back there in the phone booth, we have Pastor's Mighty Men. We have Eric and Frank and Randy, and they're standing by ready to man those phones tonight because we have a job to do. We have a mission, folks, and the cause is a righteous cause, and we're here to let you know what the opposition is up to and what they don't want you to know. And so that's why we're here. And so we're going to do that to the best of our abilities, as we have for 50 years. Not once, not ever did we compromise in 50 years. Now, right there in the glass cage, on the dials, with a smile, there you go. He's a handsome young man, style, our board off. He's a handsome young man. And when I was his age, I was a handsome young man, too. But now look at me in style. Take a good look, because this is what's coming your way.
Thanks, I think.
All right, there you go. You heard the cackle. Right. And she cackles. And she flutters and stutters. She gets the coffee. She gets the water. And she yells at the guys when they don't do what I tell them to do. And anyhow, that is Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. And then you have my trainee, my co-host here in the studio. I'm training him up in case they get me out there. He's left to come and take my place, even if it costs him his life. He's willing to do it, right?
I'm ready and willing.
Yeah, he's thinking on that one. Okay. And then way out yonder, he's a legend. He's a legend in his own time. He's the Missouri master, and that's none other than Pastor Joe Larson,
the man with the face for radio.
All righty. That makes two of us,
ready to go to work. Yep. Makes both of us.
Well, we got a job to do, don't we?
We do. Big one.
You know what? We got to start out, though. We have a prayer request. And, Joe, we have a young police officer locally. His name was Jacob Durbin. He was murdered this week, and he happened to be a friend of our board op style. In fact, they graduated together. And so friends and family would ask us if we would pray for the family to comfort. So let's do that. Folks, all around the country out there, you know what it's like to lose a loved one. And this guy was just a young police officer, 23 years old, Hall, and he was doing his job.
It's even worse because he's one with the courage to stand up and take action and help serve the people, really keep them safe.
Well, from everything I've read, and that's exactly what he wanted to do. He really wanted to serve and help and protect the people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold up the family and the friends of Officer Jacob Durbin. Lord God, we know that, Lord, that, you know, Jacob is with you. So this is what we've been told by people out there that know him, that he loved doing his job. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask that you would just be at this time, Lord, of where it's people need, the family needs to be comforted. What a big loss. And those of us that have lost sons, we know what it's like to lose a member. So, Lord, we would ask that you would be a comforter at this time to the family and to the friends, Lord, of young Officer Jacob. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Okay, Joe, you know, yesterday we were going through, remember the title of the message?
Three Wives and Mothers of Six Great Husbands and Sons.
And so two of those, one of those was a woman named Bathsheba.
Sheba.
And she had a pretty famous husband. Well, she had two famous husbands, in fact. Uri, the Hittite, which was known to be the most loyal of all of David's mighty men, and then King David himself.
Oh.
And then she had Solomon, who was the wisest man ever as a son. And so she went from being a woman who was of infidelity, a cheater, to in repentance. Well, let me read a story. I'm going to be reading to you right from the book, All the Women of the Bible. And that's a book by Dr. Herbert Locker. And here's, I'm going to pick it up where we left off. Lazing around on the flat roof of his palace, David saw a woman on the roof of a nearby house, undressing and bathing herself. And his passions were excited. Bathsheba, the woman exposing herself nudely, was very beautiful to look upon. And David, ever attracted by lovely women, coveted her and became guilty of an outrageous disgrace. Although David was to confess that his foul sin was his and his alone, one wonders how far Bathsheba was the accomplice in such a sin, as well as its provocation. Had she been a careful, modest woman, surely she would have looked around and easily seen adjacent roofs, and if others had been looking her way, she would have been more appropriately modest in bathing herself. Further, when sent for by David, had she been a true wife and a woman of principle, she should have refused to obey the king's summons. And as she saw David feasting his eyes upon her, did she have a presentiment of what would happen? If not, then when before the king she should have bravely refused to yield adultery. Later on the sacred record, a heathen woman, a queen, brave Vashti, stoutly refused to expose herself before wine-inflamed men, and was expelled from court. Had Bathsheba shown the very same determination to preserve her dignity, David, the anointed of Israel, would never have sinned as he did. After the adulterous act in the king's bedchamber, Bathsheba manifested no sense of guilt, but after her husband's murder, almost immediately went to the palace to supplement David's many wives. Bathsheba was only added insult to the injury by indulging in her illicit affair with another man. And while her lawful husband was risking his life in the service of her seducer, learning of Bathsheba's pregnant condition, David hurried Uriah to allay suspicion, but returning the devoted soldier, a man of highest principle, refused any physical contact with his wife. David's clever plan failed, and the plot thickens. Uriah must be gotten rid of, so he was sent back to the battlefield with a letter to Job to put Uriah in the foremost place where he was bound to be killed. Godly, gallant Uriah had no idea that that sealed letter carried his death warrant. Thus, for David's lust, adultery, deceit, and treachery and murder followed in quick succession. After the accustomed period of mourning, Bathsheba became the wife of David, and their child of an adulterous union, was born without disgrace, only to die within a week of its birth. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare, David. The deep grief of David over the sickness and the death of the child, while not relieving the king of his murderous crime, gives us a glimpse of his better nature and of his faith in reunion beyond the grave. Perhaps no other passage of the Bible has been used to comfort sorrowing hearts in the hour of death as that which David assures us of immortality. Mourning over his dead child, he said, "Can I bring him back again?" No, he could not. Then came words binding up the cruel wound death causes. "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Both David and Bathsheba must have had much agony of soul as they became deeply conscious that the death of their son, conceived without of wedlock, was a divine judgment upon their dark sin. Divinely instructed, Nathan the prophet brought David to a realization of his terrible evil, and sincere in his confession of his iniquity, he received from Nathan the assuring word, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." Much has been written about David's repentance, reserved for us in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is the Psalm of David who, boy, I'm going to tell you, he lays it out there in repentance for his terrible sins. Saturated with penitential tears. In Psalm 32, expressing David's gratitude to God for his pardoning and grace, but graciously forgiven, even God could not avert the natural consequences of David's transgression. He came to prove the inevitable subsequent sorrow. Evil rose up against him in his own house. David found himself disgraced by one son, banished by another, revolted against by a third, and bearded by his servant, betrayed by his friends, deserted by his people, and bereaved of his children. What about Bathsheba? What with David was she made conscious of her share in the iniquitous transaction of the past. Co-responsible David's sin, did her tears of repentance mingle with those of her husband? It would seem so, because God blessed them with another son whom they called Solomon, meaning beloved of the Lord. Why was not such a son given to one of David's other wives, given to David and Bathsheba? Was not Solomon an evidence and expression of God's pardoning love for both? Then it is not Bathsheba's inclusion in the genealogy. Then it is not Bathsheba's inclusion in the genealogy of Jesus. Another token that God had put their sins behind his back, restored to divine favor, and now virtuous and wise as well as beautiful, Bathsheba brought up her son Solomon in all godly diligence and care. Solomon himself came to write, "Train up a child in the way they should go," Proverbs 22:6, which counsel reflected his own godly upbringing. Tradition says that it was Bathsheba who composed Proverbs 31 as an admonition to Solomon on his marriage to Pharaoh's daughter. If this be so, we can understand all the warnings against the flatteries of a strange woman with which Proverbs abounds. After her lapse, recovery, and the birth of Solomon, and the rest of Bathsheba's life is veiled in silence. We can imagine how noble calmness, gentle dignity, and queenly courage became hers, that she retained her influence over David until his death. It was proven by the way that she reminded the king of his promise to make their son Solomon his successor. The veil of silence is lifted again when Solomon became king, and Bathsheba, whom Solomon revered, came into his presence and asked that Abishag, who cared for David in his last days, be given a marriage to Adoniah, the son of Haggith, one of David's other wives. A lesson we can learn from Bathsheba is that, being assured of God's forgiveness, she did not let her sin ruin her entire life. Repentant, she used her mistake as a guide to future better conduct. And when we brood over our sins, God has said he will remember no more against us. We actually doubt his mercy and rob ourselves of spiritual power and progress. Read again Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. So Bathsheba is saying there that when we pray and we ask forgiveness, and if we continue thinking that we're not going to be forgiven, that's not saying that we trust in God, is it?
Correct.
Are you still there, Joe? Did we lose Joe?
Just listening intently.
Okay, very good. Now, Joe, we're going to take a look at, we're going to contrast Bathsheba, and we're going to be talking about two very, very righteous and chaste ladies, and that's Elizabeth and Mary. But before we get to that, let's take a look at some, and contrast that with what we could compare to our feminists for today. We're some of the Hillary-type people in the Bible. But before we do that,
888-677-9673, 888-281-1110.
All right, very good. Let me see. Where do we leave off? I've got to read those on the screen. All right, let's go to Marie in San Diego, 100. John in Texas, 100. Maryland in California, 200. Joe in Ohio, 50. Peter in Massachusetts, 300. Is that Deniso? Denisio in New York, $10. And Tony in Toronto, $125. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, they know about religious persecution in Canada, and things I hear are getting worse.
Yeah, they are. And let's go to Proverbs 6 and read me verse 20 through 28.
My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. How far do you want me to go?
To 28.
28. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?
Go one more verse.
For he that goeth into his neighbor's unto his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent.
So what if you here's the what is being said today? They call it open marriages, and so they're saying it's really not cheating if you're a spouse. Your spouse agrees to it. In other words, you say,
right.
Look.
Gives you permission.
Right. Now, so is it still cheating or not?
God calls it that way because marriage is to be between one man and one woman. God didn't say, and you can behave any way you want. It was you were to be faithful to that person for life.
So when I've done a lot of weddings in my time, quite a few, in fact, and they always exchange vows to be faithful, you know, in good times and bad, okay? And yet they say, well, that's okay. We don't really have to hold to those vows because we decided to break them. So the marriage is between who?
A male, a female, and God.
Covenant with God, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay. God gave us the institution, the divine institution of marriage, okay? Not the government, right?
Right. Or if not, there wouldn't be a marriage ceremony with a pastor. That wouldn't be done at a church or officiated by, you know, by the church. It would be just like going to the state and getting a license. Well, you know, all that does is give you benefits and different breaks in your taxes and whatnot. But it's a totally different thing.
What are some of the things they use to justify what they call open marriage? Before you answer that, Aaron, do it.
888-281-1110, 888-677-9673.
All righty, there you go. Dean in California pledges 50. Thank you, Dean. So what are some of the things, Joe, that they use to justify, they say, the open marriages now?
Pastor, have you heard of something called a thruple?
Yeah, I have, but I can't remember what it was.
Some of these courts are recognizing something called a thruple, where it's multiple either males or multiple females, where there's three or more considered as one marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
So you talk about depraved, reprobate minds.
It's an amazing thing.
It's man deciding what he wants, not what God has ordained.
This is the woke.
Right. Well, this is just sin. Just like you said, what reasons do they give? Well, one of the first I've heard was, well, nobody was meant to be faithful. We're all, that's not natural for a person to be with one person all their life.
Some of these courts recognize marriages with inanimate objects as well. It's absolutely insane.
Well, they had one woman marry herself. I don't know how that worked, but she said she was marrying herself because she couldn't find anybody she wanted to live with or something. I mean, it's just gone insane. It's just basically people, it's like this dreaming up. There are how many definitions of sexuality? You know, they've got, what is it now, 56 or more things you can be instead of male or female, so.
We need to restore biblical marriage and,
right.
And have laws that outlaw this
stuff. Show to sin.
All righty, so, Style, when you can, put up that marriage parody. That, you know, what we're just talking about is in a song, okay? And so it's very interesting, that song. So we'll play that marriage parody. And it would be a good thing to do it right now, if when you get it up there. It would just cause the marriage parody.
You might have to give me a minute. It's not coming up here.
Okay.
You know, computers.
Yeah.
All right, I got you.
Okay, get ready. Here it comes.
Next. Good morning. We'd like to apply for a marriage license.
Names,
Tim and Jim Jones.
Jones? Are you related? I see a resemblance.
Yeah, we're brothers.
Brothers? You can't get married.
Well, why not? Aren't you giving marriage licenses to same-gender couples?
Yes, thousands. But we haven't had any siblings. That's incest.
Incest? No, we're not gay.
Not gay? Then why do you want to get married?
Well, for the financial benefits, of course. And we do love each other. And besides, we don't have any other prospects.
But we're issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples who've been denied equal protection under the law. If you are not gay, you can get married to a woman.
Wait a minute. A gay man has the same right to marry a woman as I have. But just because I'm straight doesn't mean I want to marry a woman. I want to marry Jim, and Jim wants to marry me. Are you going to discriminate against us just because we're not gay?
All right, all right. I'll give you your license. Next.
Hi, we're here to get married.
Names?
Frank Smith, Jane James, Robert Green, and June Johnson.
And who wants to marry whom?
We all want to marry each other.
But there are four of you.
That's right. You see, we're all bisexual. I love Jane and Robert. Jane loves me and Frank. Frank loves Robert and me, and Robert loves Frank and Jane. All of us getting married together is the only way that we can express our sexual preferences in a marital relationship.
But we've only been granting license to gay and lesbian couples.
So, you're discriminating against bisexuals?
No, it's just that, well, the traditional idea of marriage is that it's just for couples.
Since when did you stand on tradition?
Well, I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Who says? There's no logical reason to limit marriage to couples. The more the better. Besides, we demand our rights. The mayor says the Constitution guarantees equal protection under the law. Give us a marriage license.
All right, all right. Next.
Howdy. I'd like a marriage license.
In what names?
David Dietz.
And the other person?
Oh, that's all. I want to just marry myself.
Marry yourself? What do you mean?
Well, my psychiatrist says I have a dual personality, so I want to marry the two together. Maybe I can file a joint income tax return.
That does it. I quit. You people are making a mockery of marriage.
All right, there you go. You see, Mr. Johnson, you just were not very tolerant.
not tolerant enough, right?
Right. There. Yeah. It's. I mean,
he
you
needs
know,
to go to take a DEI class, and he needs he needs some remedial training.
But see, to us, we just look at this as being ludicrous, but not to a Democrat. To a Democrat, especially these college kids today, that seems reasonable. It really does.
Well, I mean, somebody, I've read several places where somebody married themselves. I think I've seen two, three stories of somebody married them. I didn't.
Do you know what states these are at?
Hmm. Let me ask you this. Those that have married themselves, when they get a divorce, how do they split the property?
The property. Well, that's the nice part. They don't have to.
So what, some of these courts are, these people that marry themselves are recognizing the tax-exempt status for being married to yourself? Is that what it's all about?
I didn't read any further. I just laughed and went on and thought, okay, this is just too crazy.
Tell him, Joe, because he may be thinking about doing that. And you know,
that won't ever happen.
I need...
What we need to do is restore biblical marriage. So can our state legislature literally implement a law to get rid of all this garbage? In all seriousness.
What they could do is we have people who will live a certain way no matter what, is you reserve marriage the way God had it, and then give what we would, the word was civil unions for these other people who want to do something weird. They're going to live that way anyway. That would solve a political problem, and that would keep the actual marriage godly where it belongs.
All righty. Well, you know what? We've got to give do it. Now, listen here.
I'm going to slow down.
People said you're doing it too fast now.
Eight, six.
Two, eight, Whoa. 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 Zero. Can you do it like that?
8-8-8-6-7-7-9-6-7-3.
Beautifully done there, Aaron.
He did it. Yeah, that was good.
I think that's too slow.
Just remember the 281 number, the 281-1110 is the credit card line. And you can just not only make a pledge, but you can take care of the pledge right now.
All right. Josephine in New York pledges 20 and Joyce in New Jersey pledges 35. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. There you go. We'll give that one more time, then we're going to play a clip. Do it again. You're getting really good.
8-8-6-7-7-9-6-7-3. 8-8-8-2-8-1-1-1-1-0.
He was heard doing that in his sleep. Okay, there you go. All righty. We got a clip to play. It's kind of about... being accountable for dead people. Go ahead.
Excess deaths. We wrote methodology papers on how we calculate them. We three different methods. We prefer the second method. These can be compared to the actuarial tables from the insurance industry, which saw similar excess death in their group life policy. So these excess deaths are undeniable. What is going on currently is certain governments are now changing how they calculate these numbers. The ONS just announced a change to the calculation methodology for their excess death number, which reduces, obviously, the excess deaths because they like that result better. We suspected that might happen, so that's why we wrote our methodology papers and published them in September of 2022. And the actuarial tables that the insurance companies use haven't changed. So excess deaths are continuing. The insurance companies are seeing the same excess mortality, especially in the working age population. So these deaths are undeniable. This is, you can't hide the dead bodies, unfortunately.
So again, you publish all your information on your website. Was it One America? Was that the insurance company that's kind of the first revelation of this? Was an insurance company out of Indiana?
Well, One America, CEO Scott Davison, in a Chamber of Commerce meeting, revealed that he had seen 40% excess mortality in the millennial age group, 25 through 44, and even as high, actually for 25 through 64. And he said that's 10% increase would be once in a 200-year flood or a three standard deviation event. 40% was off the charts, just off the charts.
And we haven't really heard anything since that point in time other than from people like you. What? Because we tried helping you get insurance data, and we were just pretty well blocked. No, the insurance company, they did not want to cooperate with us and provide us their information. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so what they're doing is, unfortunately, there's still a lot of controversy in the insurance industry where a lot of people don't even want to look at the vaccine issue. A lot of these CEOs mandated, got the jab themselves, who are in a state of denial. They have raised prices in group life policy, so the losses are less now. Losses will be coming in whole life policies due to a Byzantine accounting dynamic. So we expect to see reserves taken once they lower their long-term mortality assumptions and or raise their long-term mortality assumptions, I should say. And we'll see losses start running through their P&Ls this year and next. With it, I have whistleblowers, and there's been discussions at board-level meetings about the continued excess mortality. And they dance around every issue except the vaccine. Not mentioned.
So, again, you talked about an awful lot of numbers, but my big takeaway is that what you found out is in working-age population, there was just an extraordinary increase in excess deaths and disabilities starting in 2021. Not 2020 during the pandemic before we had a vaccine, but after the vaccine rollout. I mean, is that pretty much your...
That's correct, and that's my thesis as to why the vaccine causes. There was a huge mix shift from old to young starting in 21. Disabilities weren't apparent in 2020. And if you look at the disability numbers, and you can drill down into them, the rate of change for the employed in our country in disabilities between 2021 and 2023 was 38%. So that was a rate of change increase of 38% versus the general U.S. population which has been 9, and not in labor force, only 4%.
So I encourage everybody to go look at his data, and it's indisputable, basically. So thank you, Mr. Dowd.
Thank you.
All righty. It's an amazing thing. You know, when it comes to COVID, now, see, those insurance guys, they followed what they were told to do by the deep state, and they insisted on many of their employees getting the kill shots. Those same employees now realize that how many people are dying, so those CEOs, they have to face up to their mistakes. Now they're caught between a hard spot. You know, well, what are they going to do? If they admit to that, then they're liable for all kinds of lawsuits and things. So they're between a rock and a hard spot there.
Well, they'll continue like the rest of the Biden administration to lie. We see all the people from the administration, they continue to lie either by commission or just by what? Omission.
Well,
they
Pfizer.
Don't tell the truth, right. They don't talk about it.
Pfizer is going to have to admit something about these babies and infants dying in the trials. That should be coming out relatively soon. So there is hope as far as there's laws where if they're sued and it's legitimate, I forget the name of the law or the statute, but this specific issue with Pfizer and the infants dying in the trials.
All the way back in the 90s, the big drug companies, Pfizer and the others, went to Congress, and they told Congress, we cannot come up with and testing new drugs if we can be sued all the time. So they were given an immunity against lawsuits. Now, but there are still ways, if you can prove that it was something that was done purposely, I think you can still, I know that some of these companies have had a lot of lawsuits, you know, because they knew that what they were doing was going to injure and hurt people, and that could be proved. But
right, if it was just accidental, they didn't know. It's one thing, they were protected from an experimental, but once they knew the truth, that the protection ceases there.
So when it comes to COVID and the bio kill shot, this the mainstream media, if you will, the collective media, well, they'll cover for them. You know, they'll keep it quiet. They won't talk about it. But on the other hand, now, in this horrible, horrible war in Gaza, where the Palestinians have claimed that the Israelis had killed 35,000, and as bad as it is, the actual numbers are like 16,000. And so the media goes the other way. They go the other way because that's what they're told to do by the deep state. I mean, it's bad. If it was 16, if it was one, you know, it's a horrible war, and we're to pray for the peace of Israel. All right.
Actually, Pastor, if you don't mind, Israel just released new Gaza civilian death tolls, and they say Hamas's numbers are fake. What they came up with is that the estimated civilian death toll in Gaza, that 16,000 have been killed in the war. And we believe we have killed in excess of 14,000 terrorists, and sadly, about 16,000 civilians inside the Gaza Strip. And they've, you know, keeping records that those are more realistic figures. In fact, they're for hand-to-hand combat, street-to-street, you know, city-type combat. That is extraordinary, considering Hamas, you know, puts its people out there in harm's way, uses them as human shields, puts their missiles in front of daycare centers, schools, you know, people's homes. If you take out a missile launch, you're going to get collateral damage. Considering all of that, strikingly few figures.
All right, Maryland and Parma pledges 100, and Garrett in California pledges 50. Do it, Aaron, do it.
888-677-9673. 888-281-1110.
There you go. Very good.
It's very hard.
All right.
Yeah. You want some humor to start things?
Yeah, humor is always good.
The New York mayor, Eric Adams, called today for migrants to be allowed to work as lifeguards as the city faces a shortage of lifeguards, arguing that many of them are excellent swimmers.
Wow.
I have this picture. I've seen how many of these tens of thousands we've watched on TV wading across the river, and I got to thinking, I saw one person swimming the entire time, and that was a coyote that had brought some people over, and people were rushing down to where the landing was, and he turned around and started swimming across the river to escape. That was the only person I ever saw swimming was a coyote. I don't think of all those people I've seen crossing the river over all these years, I saw one person floating because they couldn't swim. But, you know, this man, boy, they must be hard up for a solution. He wants, what he really wants is to get the federal government to give the permission to give them work visas. And, you know, this is what they're trying to do. They need to give them the right to work. It's interesting. He says bureaucracy's in the way of getting them. But one of the key things, he's talking about work permits moves for the federal government, and the federal government should, quote, now listen to this carefully, for a meaningful financial support to create a national resettlement strategy for the migrants. As you look through these things, the devil is always in the details, folks. Several page article, and way toward the end, what he's really trying to say, they want the federal government to create a national resettlement strategy for all these now, what, 30, 40, who knows, plus million people in the country. That's what the game is.
Well, not only that, but Joe Obama wants to give the illegals Social Security. And so there you go.
Well, we talked about how when they go in to get a Medicaid card, they try and tell them to register to vote. Remember, they're in Arizona, and they can apply to register to vote. There's a line there on the voting they've applied, and that's all they have to do because somebody else will come in and use a dead person's name, fake name, and vote in that space. This is one of the things the Dems have been doing for years, and I can't believe they just haven't been called on it, caught on it yet, and more people in jail.
It's an amazing thing. I just read an article, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was several billion dollars, B with a, billion with a B, that were given to housing illegal aliens, those that have come in here, invaded our country, and I contrasted that with $300 million with an M, given to our homeless vets.
Yeah.
There you go.
Most of them are homeless because of post-traumatic stress or just the horrors they saw they couldn't handle. A lot of good Christian boys went over and had to do some killing and never could make peace over taking human life. And that's caused so much grief to a lot of people.
Elaine in Minnesota pledges 200. Okay, I'm going to do it now. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. You have an article there, Aaron.
I do. This is back to what I was referencing about Pfizer. So Karen Kingston on her Substack. Teenage boy and a toddler die in ongoing Pfizer gene therapy. Pfizer issued an official statement yesterday extending their condolences for the sudden cardiac death of toddler who was enrolled in their adenovirus gene editing trial, updating May 8th, 2024. Yesterday, I republished a video and article entitled What Happened to Their Babies, describing the lack of ethics and grossly inhumane experimentation that Pfizer conducted on babies and toddlers with their COVID-19 mRNA gene editing injections. Just a few hours ago, multiple industry outlets began breaking this official statement from Pfizer that a toddler died of a cardiac arrest in an investigational trial of boys aged 2 to 4 years old to treat a rare form of muscular dystrophy with a recombinant adenovirus gene editing technology. And she lists the Pfizer document. Pfizer stated that they will be pausing the dosing of the gene editing technology in the crossover group of toddlers. And then the next article talks about there was no placebo in this study either. Just like in Pfizer's COVID-19 gene editing trial in babies and toddlers, there was no placebo. There was no placebo in this trial. The strain you hear in my video testimony is heightened because although Pfizer observed seizures, disabilities, and death in babies between the ages of 6 months and 2 years of ages in the treatment group, it was the 377 babies in the crossover group that less than 1% made it to the end of the trial after Pfizer already knew the shots could only cause injury, disabilities, and death.
There you go. But remember what Bill Gates says. It's all right if all those people die as long as it's planned, okay? That's
treacherous.
That's deep state reasoning. Joe, you have an article there.
Yeah, I have one on a totally different level. I had to hit the cough button. Teacher actually teaches children to think.
Wait a minute. Hold it. A teacher is teaching the children to think.
Yep.
Well, God bless America.
All of the money that we're spent in the public school system
to brainwash,
to teach them not to think. I mean, how can they become?
Well, it didn't last long. They fired him right away.
Okay.
See this? He gained they call it superstar status with a stunning exchange that taught these kids to think, not how to think, not what to think, and they fired him. Warren Smith, the high school teacher, was described as having a master class in the Socratic method, and his interview with his students was viewed 45 million times. I went and looked at it. It is a masterpiece. It is fantastic. If you want, it's high school teacher Warren Smith. And you can look it up, and the video's online for Warren Smith. And so what he did was just teaching this young boy how to not make assumptions, just look at the fact, come up with something for himself. And the media just jumped in there. Another example of why our education system is in such a sorry state. Getting rid of, they finally get a really good teacher. This man was calm. He was pleasant. He was thoughtful.
Yeah, but here is his big error. He should have taught the school board how to think first.
Yeah, see. Well, he didn't have access to them. it's really bad. People were calling him brilliant. And, this... to me is so terribly sad. I'm hoping that some private school finds him, some online school or something, because there is a person out there that
Believe me, with what
with my way, I'd see he has a job tomorrow morning.
With this kind of publicity that he's gotten, he'll be picked up by Christian schools and our universities all around the country. But how in the world could you teach children to think and at the same time promote Common Core, because they're totally in opposition to each other, right?
They're totally in opposition. Now, one of the bad things is he revealed that the school took his computer. Now, he's been working on different projects, and a book that he's been working on for several years with some other works in progress, they took his computer and have not given anything back.
Here's what he needs to do. He needs to get the phone number of the person responsible for that and give it to people like you and I. And we will give it to good American people out there.
Yeah, we're going to try and check it out, see where we can find. But this is a travesty. It really is. 45 million people saw this, and the response of the people is overwhelming. They are behind him 100%. They almost didn't mention any negative, except maybe from the teachers' union. But God bless him. Maybe we should just everybody keep him in prayer. Warren Smith, and I don't know what school system. It really didn't say on the article.
So, well, we're going to give out the number real quick. 888-677-9673-888-281-1110.
All right, very, very good. Renowned attorney John Eastman delivers blistering speech on illegitimate 2020 presidential election. John describes complete breakdown of the election process like no other. Brilliant scholar and former Trump attorney John Eastman traveled to Michigan last Friday. Attorney Eastman delivered a powerful speech on lawfare and how it's being used against President Trump and his supporters. Mr. Eastman addressed a large crowd in Lansing, Michigan, at an event that was hosted by Michigan's top election integrity group, MI Fair Elections, which was created by the incredible author and patriot extraordinaire Patrice Johnson. John Eastman describes the election fraud in 2020 as in great detail during the speech. The Biden regime and deep state players do not want you to know this, but that's why you're listening to us right now. Anyhow, and what's happening, I'm trying to get my pages apart. That alone made the election invalid. Wait a minute. I think I might have missed a page. I did miss a page. All right. Okay, I got it now. All right. Here's what Eastman said. Thank you so much. I start the story when I get a call from the White House switchboard. I thought that they were joking. I thought it was a buddy of mine saying the White House of the president is on the line. Can you take a call? I said. And Steve, what are you doing? I did a hop up on the phone, and the president said, I'd like you to represent me. We're trying to get an action before the Supreme Court of the United States. That normally is something that would be considered the catchstone of one's career. My daughter's thought so. She took the brief we filed at the Supreme Court, my motion to intervene on behalf of the president in the Texas versus Pennsylvania case. She had it framed and gave it to me for Christmas that year. It still adorns my office at home. But a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, as the old guy says, because apparently a 21st century America, you're not supposed to challenge the status quo. You're not supposed to challenge what government tells you, no matter how blatantly false it manifests it is. And when they said masks should be worn or masks shouldn't be worn, we were supposed to act like they didn't change their mind. And when it was equally the same when they said it's okay to have 50-year-old men showing up naked in your daughter's showers, we're supposed to just say, well, this is the government. They said it's okay. Or competing against our daughters in the swim meet. What's she going to do when she grows up and wants to get a scholarship swimming or running track, and she's competing against the man? It's not fair. It's not American. And we need to stand up against it. At the same time, this is true with elections. Bill Barr said that there was no evidence of fraud. Oh, boy, yeah. He looked, except when we filed a Public Records Act asking that he looked at and getting access to the investigatory materials that he based that statement on. Now the investigation materials are exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, and what you get back normally, it says, yes, we have such materials, but it's exempt under whatever subsection the statute is exempt under. That was not the message that came back. There was a fellow that filed Freedom of Information request in every swing state, U.S. Attorney's Office, asking for an investigation materials that supported Bill Barr's statements, and the answer didn't come back. We have these materials. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'll finish this maybe later on. It's a very good article. Be back after this. Don't go away. More to come.
888-677-9673-888-281-1110.
Fight the fight. Make a stand.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.